once a week.
It was in early in the week, like the daily Mamudiyah, a couple of days ago. Somebody gave it to me.
Well, I only get the weekly, yeah. Once a week.
I didn't see it in the daily.
But that's all.
Yeah, it was a few days ago. Yeah.
So in the weekly.
Okay, so we'll try to finish today some of the sugyas we've been discussing about the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and beginning the sugya in terms of Erev Tisha B'Av. So Erev Tisha B'Av has a unique status, both in terms of halach as well as in terms of minhagim. Particularly, we speak about the uniqueness of Erev Tisha B'Av, so we're speaking about Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis that Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos has its own status in halacha, and that is the time that a person can eat the Suda HaMafsekes, and Suda HaMafsekes has certain halachas which govern it. So the Suda HaMafsekes is, of course, the Suda, the last meal that one eats before Tisha B'Av begins, and it only has the halachic limitations of a Suda HaMafsekes if it takes place after Chatzos. So if a person decides to have a very big breakfast, then Erev Tisha B'Av is not going to eat the rest of the day, that wouldn't be a Suda HaMafsekes. So if a person eats a big lunch on Erev Tisha B'Av, then he plans on having another meal later, that also wouldn't be the Suda HaMafsekes. Only if both conditions are met, that it's both after Chatzos as well as the last meal is even before Tisha B'Av, then and only then is it considered to be the Suda HaMafsekes. What are some of the limitations in Allah of the Suda HaMafsekes? So the Gemara gives us three limitations. So the Gemara says, what is not allowed to eat meat at the Suda HaMafsekes? So this is irrelevant for us. We're not eating meat already from Rosh Chodesh Av. So, but Medina the Gemara, the Yisra of Bos, was only at the Suda HaMafsekes. Then the Gemara says, one's not allowed to drink wine at the Suda HaMafsekes. This is also irrelevant for us because that minhag is not to drink wine ready from Rosh Chodesh Av. So there's only one aspect of the Suda HaMafsekes that's still binding for us, and that is the Isra of Shnei Tafshilin. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to have a fancy meal at the Suda HaMafsekes. It's supposed to be mamish to bare minimum. So one is not allowed to have two cooked dishes at the Suda HaMafsekes. So that's not relevant for us. That is no gila ma'isa for us. So this is the source of an issue that comes up in Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon. A person wants to fill up, you know, want to stop, sit down and have an egg. A person wants to have a real meal. So how do you do that? So the Ramah comes up with the following eight. So the Ramah writes, so what you can do is like this. Since the Gemara says that the only time the limitations of Suda HaMafsekes apply are only if it's the last meal. So you can do is you can make a fake last meal. It means you sometime after Chatzos, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to have a real late lunch or early supper. You want to have a real meal with a lot of food. So, okay, Bas V'Yayin obviously is out of the question. It's the 9 days. But you can have a regular meal with 20 tafshilin and no limitations whatsoever. Then what you do is you have a little bit of a break, a little bit of a hefsek. That's what many shuls have. A minute at that point, and then you go home, and then right before Shkia, you have a quote-unquote halachic Suda HaMafsekes, and that halachic Suda HaMafsekes is only bread and one cooked dish. The minute is to have an egg, because like the same as the Suda Savra, Meichel of Avelim. So that's what the minute that the Ramah quotes, that's what the minute in most of our communities is that we have a full meal sometime later in the afternoon, with a break, and then the halachic Suda HaMafsekes is right before Shkia. The Suda HaMafsekes is supposed to, the real Suda HaMafsekes is supposed to be over by Shkia. A person is supposed to finish ready eating by Shkia, because the Gemara says that Ben Hashmashas of Tisha B'Av is also, even though Tisha B'Av is only Midi Rabbanan, but one is not permitted to be Mekel during Ben Hashmashas. The whole Lomdish is a reason why, but not for now. The Mais, that's the din, that already at the point of Shkia, it's also. There is a Rambam in Perish of Mishnayis that sounds a little bit like there's the mitzvah of Tosefas of Tisha B'Av. Just as there's the din of Tosefas on Yom Kippur, he's supposed to start Yom Kippur early, so the Rambam seems to say he's supposed to start Tisha B'Av a little bit earlier also. So most people aren't so makbar in that usually anyway. Who eats till the last second, usually we stop and refrain from eating a little bit before anyway. There is this shayla in the Rishonim, if a person ate his Suda HaMafsekes, then he benched, and he really wasn't planning on eating anymore. Then he gets thirsty, gets hungry, wants to eat some more. So is that a problem? So there was some Rishon, the Rambam seems to say that that's a problem. That once he finishes his Gorba B'daita, that he's not planning on eating anymore, that's like a Kabbalah's Tainus. And once he's Mekabel Tainus, even though it's Mibod Yom, so that would be a problem. So the Ramban disagrees, says, what kind of Kabbalah's Tainus? Who Kabbalah's Tainus? Where Kabbalah's Tainus? The guy's until Shkia, he's allowed to eat. That's a question. So in deference to that machlokes, so the poskim write that if a person is really planning on having something else to a cup of water or something, plans on brushing his teeth, whatever he plans on doing after he finishes benching. So we should have in mind, we should make it tonight, that he's not Makabal Tainus yet. Shouldn't be a Shabbat, shouldn't be a Machlekes. The same is true with Erev Yom Kippur. Also, we practice that if a person is finishing his meal on Erev Yom Kippur and he still plans, going to go run to take, have a cup of water on his way to Kol Nidrei. So we should have in mind that he's not Makabal Tainus yet. It shouldn't be totally on that machlokes, shouldn't be dependent on that machlokes in the Rishonim, is that considered to be a Kabbalist tainus or not? So a kol panim, an erev tishba for the afternoon, is considered a pidin to be a halachic status, and not just a made up, not just a minhag. It's a pidin, erev tishba for the afternoon is considered to be the time for the sudim of sechus, and it's bound by certain halachas. There are certain minhagim that appear in the poskim on erev tishba after chatzos also, because of the fact that it's already utad right before tishba. And one is the famous minhag of the Ramah, where the Ramah writes that the minhag is not to learn on erev tishbaf in the afternoon after chatzos, except those parts of Torah that one is permitted to learn on tishbaf itself. So many poskim question the validity of this minhag. Mishabruk quotes a group of acharonim who have serious reservations with this minhag. They felt that it leads to day bitul Torah, because it's very hard to tell people to learn kamtza by kamtza for a day and a half. It's hard enough to learn it for one day, so to tell everybody to learn it for a day and a half, unless it happens to be daf yomi that day. So it's hard for people to do that. It's hard for people to sit and learn uchas tishbaf, avelus, yirmiyo, kinos, eicha, iyo. It's hard for us to learn these things for so long. So the Mishnebura quotes a group of Acharonim who say that you don't have to follow this minhag of the Ramah, that you can learn regular Tulshki, you can learn whatever you want on Erev Tishbav in the afternoon. So there are different minhagim about this. The Mishnebura quotes from one of the Acharonim who writes that if it would be up to him, he would negate the Isra of learning on Tishbav Lagamri. Because the whole reason for not learning a Tisha B'Av is to force a person to be Mesavel al Chorban. So what do people do? They don't learn a Tisha B'Av. They sit around and shmooze all day. So he says, if it was up to him, he would have been vatal this din. But it's not up to him, because the Chavimah Mesachid, you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av itself. So these Acharonim write that, okay, whatever the Chavimah Mesachid, Nebuch was stuck with, we can't change. But we're not Mechuv to start adding new Menagim, new Chumrit. So then leave it on Tisha B'Av itself. Don't learn Erev Tisha B'Av, you should learn. There's a further machlekes in the different minhagim about if Tishba falls out on Shabbos or on Sunday. It's Shabbos and it's Nidchah on Sunday, but Sunday itself. So does this minhag of the Ramah apply? So the Ramah himself says yes. The Ramah says that one shouldn't learn on Erev Tishba in the afternoon, even on Shabbos. The Ramah writes, therefore, you don't say Pirkei Avos. The Ramah writes that the minhag, those who say Pirkei Avos throughout the summer, so shouldn't say Pirkei Avos on Erev Tishba, Shchalas B'Shabbos. And the Mishabura quotes that other Acharonim say that's already too far. To say that you don't learn on Shabbos, he said, that's a come on Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos already. You're eating Kiyat HaMelech. The Gemara says you have a bus of Yayin, and you can eat bus of Yayin at Shalosh Shuddos. You can have Suda Kiyat HaMelech. So what do you mean you can't learn? So many Acharim say that even those who follow the Minhag of the Ramah on a weekday should not follow it on Shabbos. So there are different Minhagim. So some don't accept this minhag lagamre, some accept it totally even on Shabbos, another split between Shabbos and Chol. So I personally don't follow this minhag, and in Marsha Chol we stay learn in the afternoon till a buzzer, till Shkia, you can learn. That's what I always did for all the years, and it's what I strongly recommend people to do. We had a little bit I think I told the story from Shul, we had a little bit of a funny situation last summer in NCSY Kollel, that it was Tisha B'Av last year was on Sunday, or Tisha B'Av was on Shabbos. So some people were asking me whether you should learn on Shabbos afternoon. So I said, of course. I said, that's the commandment. Nobody follows this minhag, especially on Shabbos. So I told everybody they should learn. But apparently, somebody else asked Rabbi Shechter. Rabbi Shechter said, yeah, the Ramah says not to learn on Shabbos afternoon. You should just learn Eof and whatever. Learn your Eof and Kamsa B'Kamsa. So it was a little bit of a funny situation. So on the one hand, I wanted to learn. On the other hand, I didn't think it was right. Rabbi Shechter was telling everybody not to learn. So I'm going to be sitting with my Gemara of Matzias. It's Pasnish. So those who know NCSY Kollel, there's another base medrash. There's the Chassidish base medrash where there's a Chassidish Kollel on the Moshav. So whenever you want to hide away somewhere, so you go to that base medrash. So I sat there the whole afternoon on Shabbos. I figured the Chassidim wouldn't mind if I was sitting and learning. So Kachava. So I went into hiding on Erev Tishbav in the afternoon, and I sat and learned the whole afternoon. Anyway, so it was one of my strongest darim. Nobody knew where I was, so no one could ask me any questions. So I got a lot done that afternoon. Anyway, So there are different minhagim about this, but one thing is for sure, the Ramah writes that one is not supposed to be bouncing around on Erev Tishbav in the afternoon. The Ramah writes one is not supposed to be metayel, you're not supposed to be spazzing around taking walks on Erev Tishbav in the afternoon. Or in the camps, the proper practice is that one should not be playing ball. If it's on Shabbos, for sure you should be playing ball. But even if it's during the week, you shouldn't be playing ball on Erev Tishbav in the afternoon. Erev Tishbav in the afternoon is the time to get into the proper mood, into the proper spirit of Tishbav.
Why? Why? If there is Shabbos, we don't have that requirement that after Chatzot we can't do our normal routine.
Yeah, sure there is. There is such a din. You're not supposed to do regular malach on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. You're not supposed to. The Gemara says in the fourth break of Pesachim that anyone who does malach on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon is ain't a rosh and bracha. That's considered to be inappropriate. Ach, so Nebuch, I stuck. What are you going to do? But it's not an Isser Goma, but it's considered to be the proper thing to do is to start to get into the mood Erev Shabbos in the afternoon also. when Tisha B'Av itself begins, and then all the Surim of Tisha B'Av are in full force from the, we said, even during Ben HaShemashos until the following night, post-Ben HaShemashos. So some of the Surim of Tisha B'Av we're familiar with, so the Mishnah tells us what is not allowed to eat or drink on Tisha B'Av. It's like any other Tanis Tzibur, even more common than a regular Tanis Tzibur. The Gemara Pesachim tells us that that this Isra of Achila Shtiyah Tisha B'Av applies even to Mubaros and Menikos. This is a common Shaila, probably the most common Tisha B'Av Shaila that any Rav today gets, is that women who are pregnant, who are nursing, are they supposed to be fasting on Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara says Beferish that yes, that Mubaros and Menikos, Mesanas and Mashlimos, but Tisha B'Av, Kederach, Shemesanas and Mashlimos, B'Yom HaKippurim. Same way that pregnant women and nursing women have to fast on Yom Kippur, so they have to fast on Tisha B'Av as well. That's Beferish in the Gemara. So the Gemara is talking about a normal kind of situation where there are no complications. If a particular woman has a particular shaila, so she has to consult with a doctor and a rav to figure out whether there are grounds to require her to eat or to drink on either Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. So the guidelines in terms of permitting a pregnant woman or a nursing woman to eat on Tisha B'Av are a little bit different than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, which is an issa d'oraisa, so a person has to be a chodesh yesh b'sakana. A person has to be somebody who is potentially life-threatening. So the doctor says there's an outside chance of life-threatening either to the mother or to the uber, to the fetus. So that would, of course, permit the woman to eat on Yom Kippur. For Tisha B'Av, to eat on Tisha B'Av, you don't have to be that sick. To eat on Tisha B'Av, you have to be at least a cholah she'ein by sakona. Let's say a person is not pregnant, not nursing, but they're around 102 fever. They're sick, they're laid in bed, they have the swine flu, whatever they have. The doctor says nothing's going to happen to them. They're not going to die if they don't eat or they drink. They're going to be unbelievably uncomfortable. So then the halacha is that on Yom Kippur they would not be permitted to eat or drink because you have to be very uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. There's no heter because you don't feel on Yom Kippur. It has to be mamash chashash pikuach nefesh. But in Tisha B'Av, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that a chol she'ein by sakana doesn't have to fast on Tisha B'Av because at the end of the day, Tisha B'Av is only midirabanan. So certainly, assume midirabanan we lift from makamos of chola. If he's at least a chola, it has to be a chol she'ein by sakana. So chol she'ein by sakana is usually synonymous with nafal mishkav. Somebody who has to lay down in bed, someone who's not functioning normally. So if somebody is that ill on Tisha B'Av, they would not be required to fast. So if you have a Isha Muberes, who even though she's not a Cholosh Yesh B'Sakana, but she's Mamash Cholosh Yesh B'Sakana, if that's true, then Taka she would be Ptura from fasting on Tisha B'Av. So you have to assess this each and every case. So there are different factors that go into this. If it's very, very hot, she's a woman who's prone to dehydration, whatever it is. So each case is by case basis. But some people have this very lackadaisical attitude towards Tisha B'Av that pregnant, you don't have to fast on Tisha B'Av. That's not true. Some people have that attitude towards Yom Kippur also. You don't have to fast on Yom Kippur if you're pregnant. So that's also not true. The din is that in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, the starting point is you have to fast. And then you have to finagle and figure out. So a woman came to me yesterday. So she said to me that she's pregnant. She wasn't she mechuv to fast on Tisha B'Av. So I just asked her, do you have anything out of the ordinary? So she said, yeah, she's fainted a few times in the last couple of weeks. So I said, okay, so then you don't have to fast. I said, you're not allowed to fast on Tisha B'Av. If you have a person who has a specific condition, then they don't fast. This person has some aches and pains, so that's not necessarily sufficient grounds.
You say permitted to eat. They don't have to watch any shirim.
The Pashta Dvarim is on Tisha B'Av, they can eat normal. That's the simple Pshat and Halacha. There's a funny Bar Halacha that talks about it a little bit, but the Pashta Dvarim is that once you're part from fasting on Tisha B'Av, you can eat normally. This is in contrast to Shavuos B'Tammuz. On Shavuos B'Tammuz or the other tiny house, so then many Rishonim say that women who are pregnant, women who are nursing, are not obligated to fast at all. That's the reason being that since these tiny house are not Me'ikra Din, besides Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, the other tiny house, the Gemara says, Atali on the Kabbalah Satzibor. If you live at a time when it's not so bad, there aren't such gezeiros against Klal Yisrael, so the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Me'ikra Din, you don't even have to fast on Shavuos B'Tammuz. So why are we fasting on Thursday? So we're fasting because Klal Yisrael will makabel upon themselves to fast this. So since this is a Kabbalah Satzibor, the Kabbalah Satzibor was only those people who were Makabel. So all the pregnant nursing women, they voted out of this one. They said they're not Makabel with the fast on Shavuos B'Tammuz or B'Tavis, some Gedalia, Tanis Esther, etc. The quote-unquote minor fast days, so women who are pregnant and nursing are not obligated to fast. There is some way to practice the fast. Anyway, there are more quotes, but the Ikra Din, they're not obligated to do so. So Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, yes. Yom Kippur, you have to be a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana to eat. Tisha B'Av, you have to be at least a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana. Other tiniest, regular Mubaris and Menikas and Ptura. That's a shot even on Yom Kippur, whether you add anything on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, the minig is that we add on into Yal V'Yavol, B'Yom HaKippur Mazan, Tisha B'Av. So there are some who say to add, and some say to add Nachem, yeah, but I think most don't. I think the minig is not to. On Yom Kippur, it's funny because now in all the benches it's printed, L'chol Mukhtan Ba'okhlim Yom Kippurim, they should add in the Yalav Yavo. Remember, when was it? When Yom Kippur fell on Shabbos last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was. So Meir Yaakov was all excited because he said to me, he learned in school, he has to say Ritzay, he's got to say Yalav Yavo. We had a whole long, it was the kind of Lisan Ben, it was a whole long benching on Yom Kippur. But anyway. Additionally, surim that apply in Tishbav that don't apply for the lower level of Tainus Tzibur. There's Nisr Rechitza on Tishbav. One is not allowed to wash on Tishbav. One is not allowed to wash even a small amount, even with cold water. One's not allowed to wash. The only washing one's allowed to do is Lahavras Alichloch, just to remove dirt. One is permitted to wash. So that's what the Poskim say. You're allowed to. That's not a Rechitza Shal Tainuk. So you're allowed to wash and say Negelvas in the morning, even though it's not physical dirt. It's a spiritual tumma. You're allowed to. A person's allowed to wash after he goes to the bathroom. His hands get dirty. Somebody once asked me, the doctor, they were doing their rounds on Tisha B'Av, so they wanted to know, are they allowed to wash their hands in between patients? So I said, yes. I said, absolutely. They're mechuyav to wash their hands between patients. It's also, l'havras alichloch, those kinds of washing, which is not for any enjoyment, just stam, to remove something dirty. So that would be, that's perfectly permissible on Tisha B'Av. When it comes to washing negavas, I said, the post came right. One should be careful only to wash up to one's knuckles, since there's machlekes every shonim, whether netilas yadayim ever requires past the knuckles. So all year long, we have to be with the water, so we wash until our wrists. The difference to those Rishonim who say that that's necessary, since there are many Rishonim who say that till the knuckles is all right, and that's what we pass in Mikra Din, until the knuckles is okay. So in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, it says in Shulchan Aruch, one should be careful only to wash at that point. You don't have to wash anything more than the halacha actually requires. The Gemara has a machlokes in the end of Maseches Yuma whether a person can go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av. If it's man tevila, person's time to go to the mikvah is Tisha B'Av, so do you go to the mikvah or not? So one Tana says that yes, that's a rechitza shena shel tainug, it's a rechitza shel mitzvah, so you should go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara quotes another Tana that says that no, kedayu beis elokeinu la'avad lof tevila achas b'shana, that the beis hamikdash is worth it, that you don't go one day. A difference of the churban avayis, so there's one day yeah, you don't go to the base, you don't go to the mikvah, so that's on Tisha B'Av. So the Rishonim point out, Tosfos and Nakamura points out that this machlokes is irrelevant for us b'zman hazeh, because for us, for sure, you don't go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av. Why? The only Tan who said that you go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av was because of what's called tefillah b'zman mitzvah. That means it was a real tzorech to go to the mikvah because you want to become tahor, you're going to touch karbonos, you're going to touch trumi, you're going to touch ma'aseh shem, whatever it is, you're going to touch tahara. So there's a real tzorech for the person to go to the mikvah. Mashen came today. What are you going to the mikvah? What's the rush to go to the mikvah? So the only reason why we go to the mikvah pidin is for a woman to go to the mikvah. So where is she running to the mikvah? She can't be with her husband anyway. On Tisha B'Av there's nisr of tashmish shemita. They're not allowed to have relations on Tisha B'Av anyway. So what's the big rush? Go mitzvah Tisha B'Av. So that's what Tosfos writes in the end of Maseches Yuma, that bezman hazeh, there's no reason to go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av, so therefore we do not go. And Tosfos writes the same is true for Yom Kippur. So that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that both on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, women do not go to the mikvah, even though technically speaking it should have been mutter, because it's a tevilah, which is a rechitza she'en shel tainug. So technically it should have been mutter, but after b'chein, that's the halacha. So those are the only two nights a year that the mikvah is closed, the night of Yom Kippur and the night of Tisha B'Av.
Only
for the avenue. Because Bezman, the Gemara was talking about at a time when Tumu Vitara was still Noah. Even after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, they were observing the dinim of Tumu Vitara for a couple hundred years until the ashes of the Paraduma ran out. The Gemara says in Nida that even in the days of Rabbi Yudan Nasi was 150 years after the Churban, there were still people who used to observe Tumu Vitara because they still had ashes of Paraduma stashed away for until that period of time. But then tells us, right, Bezman is that the whole thing is Batel. In addition to the Isser of Rechitza, there's an Isser of Sicha on Tisha B'Av. One is not allowed to shmir ointments on oneself on a Tisha B'Av. So the same is true that if, let's say, a person has to shmir these things for medicinal reasons, so that's permissible. That's not Shel Tainug. There is a Machlekes in the later Poskim. Whatever person is shmiring things on their body on Tisha B'Av, it's what's called Lahavir Sazuhama, that if the whole purpose of the shmiring is just to get rid of a bad smell. It's not that they need it. It's not like they have a skin problem that they have to shmir something on, but they just want to remove a bad smell. smell, is that permissible or not? So there seem to be stiras in the halacha, because in Yom Kippur that's a problem, and Ruchas Avelis that seems to be mutter, and Tisha B'Av somehow falls between the cracks. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlekes Acharonim about this, and the Mishnah Berurah is makel on this. So when, according to the Mishnah Berurah, one would be permitted to put on deodorant. It would be the modern day equivalent of Sikha L'Havir Sazuma. So others disagree with this, and Rabbi Willick thought not like this. He thought the Chumra against this Mishnah Berurah, that maybe one shouldn't be putting on deodorant on Tisha B'Av. On Yom Kippur, for sure, one is not allowed to put on deodorant. Even spray deodorant, to put on a stick deodorant is also every Shabbos and Yontif. But even spray deodorant, which would be mutter on Shabbos and Yontif, so on Yom Kippur one should not put on, because Lahavir Sazuam was a problem on Yom Kippur, and whether that carries over to Tisha B'Av is this machlokes haposkim. In addition to the Isurim of Achila, Shtiya, Rechitza, Sicha, so we have an Isur of an Ilas Sandal. One is not allowed to wear shoes on Tisha B'Av, the same way one is not allowed to wear shoes on Avelos and on Yom Kippur. So there is a big machlokes of Rishonim. How do you define what's called a shoe for these purposes? So some Rishonim say that a shoe is whatever looks like a shoe. Looks like a shoe, feels like a shoe. It's comfortable, it protects your foot. So that's called a shoe. Another Rishonim say, based on a sugya in Masechus Yuma and Masechus Yevamos, that a shoe is only considered to be a shoe if it's made out of leather. Anything not made out of leather is alpi din, not considered to be a shoe. So that's what I'm minig is. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, in Nuchas Yom Kippur, Nuchas Tisha B'Av, Nuchas Avelos, that only a shoe made out of leather or partially made out of leather, that's considered to be a shoe. Any other material is not considered to be a shoe. Not everybody agreed to this. That's why the Rambam doesn't agree to this, and the Kuroz minig was not like this. That's why in Yom Kippur you find that there are some people who are makbar in this. They walk around mamish in socks all day. They won't wear even the canvas sneakers in deference to those we show them who are machmir. And on Tisha B'Av, even the machmirim, some of the machmirim are a little bit more makel tzanim b'derabbanan. So most of us are knowing l'kula, and even things that are fairly comfortable, as long as there's no leather in them, they would be okay. There was some whole to do in Eretz Yisrael with the Crocs this past Yom Kippur. I don't know what the issue was. Anyone know? So some post came in Eretz Yisrael asked wearing Crocs and on Yom Kippur. I don't know why. Because it's the same shadow we've been talking about for the last 2,000 years. I don't know why is this any different than anything else. It's not leather. It's not leather. It looks like a shoe. It feels like a shoe. It's more comfortable than a shoe. So what? I don't know. I'm not sure what the issue was. But somebody told me that there was a certain camp or something in the summer that there was a whole buzz. Everyone was talking about last summer that you can't wear Crocs to Tisha B'Av because it was a cold curry. You can't wear Crocs. So that was one of the Rosh Hashivas from the camp walks in with his Crocs in. Everyone didn't understand. He never hadn't heard about the kokuri, but he thought it wasn't a shadow. He didn't understand what the shadow was. Of course it's mutter. So I don't know. I'm not sure. If anyone finds out anything more about this, he can let me know. But the pashas is that it's totally mutter, the same way as the cloth sneakers we pass in halach is mutter. The halacha is that one is not mechuyev to fulfill the ilas asandal if it's going to be physically painful, like an oval also. Let's say a person finds themselves in a situation where they don't have any cloth sneakers, and their mamash walking in the street, they're afraid they're going to cut their foot, they're going to step on a rock or something. So the post came right, and then you're allowed to wear shoes, because the whole isser of nilas sandals, that it shouldn't be tainug, but something which is tsar, you're not mechuyev to physically pain yourself. So it would be mutter for a person to wear shoes under those circumstances. One should try to plan chacham in a barosho, try to plan accordingly, but otherwise, if you're really stuck, then one would be permitted to wear shoes. So I remember a couple of years ago when Tisha B'Av fell out on a Motzei Shabbos, and we know the minig is, you're supposed to bring your Tisha B'Av shoes before davening on Friday, because otherwise, as soon as you say Baruch on Motzei Shabbos, you have to take off your shoes, and now you're going to be stuck, how are you going to walk back home? So Chacham in a Barosha brings their sneakers beforehand, but there are always some Chacham who are not in a Barosham, so not everybody remembers to do that. So I remember one summer in Marashah, so a lot of guys had forgotten to bring their sneakers to the Beis Medrash on Friday afternoon. So on Shabbos, people asked me what they should do. So I said that I think that they should take off their shoes for Baruch Hu, and keep them off for Ma'ariv. And then when they go back to the bunk after Ma'ariv, so I think they can put their shoes back on, because they're going to step on rocks, they're going to step on who knows what, broken stuff, whatever's there, on the walk back from the Beis Medrash to the bunk. So I thought that they would be permitted to wear their shoes. I think they can find someone to bring them sneakers, Ma'atai, but if you can't, so the Ma'aser Shulchan Aruch says, if you're walking in a place where you may get hurt, you're allowed to wear your shoes. So my luck on that one also, apparently somebody else said, yes, Rabbi Willig, and he didn't think so. He thought that, what are you going to step on? Is he going to step on mud? Your foot will get dirty. As Machlek is me and Rabbi Willig, the Metzias, is their broken glass on the road from the bunk to the Beis Medrash. I'm not sure what the Machlekis was. So I thought it was okay, and apparently Rabbi Willig thought it was not right. So I was 0 for 2 for the Erev Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. Everywhere I go, someone else disagrees with me. Yeah. So the different issues that we have in Tisha B'Av, many of them are patterned after Yom Kippur and Avela. So we have the Chilush Tia, we have the Chitza, the Sichon, the Sandal, and then we have an Isser of Tashmish Amita as well, that a couple is not permitted to have relations on Tisha B'Av. There is a machlekes in the Rishonim, but this Isser may be the only one that actually applies on Tishrei Shechalos B'Shabbos. Normally we have a rule that Tishrei Shechalos B'Shabbos, so is het agomer, you're allowed to do whatever you want, you're allowed to have bosser and yayin, and you have a meal, and everything is kedasa for din, and then on Motzei Shabbos, on Yud Ba'av is when Tishrei begins. So there's one opinion in the Rishonim that says that when Tishrei falls down on Shabbos, it has the status of a velus petzina. It really is Tisha B'Av, and really a person is being Mesabel. The only thing is that it's Shabbos, so you can't have any external avails on Shabbos. So you can't walk around with your sneakers, and you can't do everything. You can't fast on Shabbos, but anything which is private avails is Noig on Tisha B'Av Shechalos B'Shabbos. So that means Tash B'Shamita. So it would be also for a couple of relations for two nights in a row. So the night Leil Tes B'Av would be also because it's Dvarim Shabbatzin and Noig, and then Leil Yud B'Av would also be also because it's because that's when we know the really serve of Tisha B'Av. That's what some Rishonim say. Another Rishonim say, no, that's not true. That when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, it's nothing. It's not Tisha B'Av. It's the Kach Tikkun Chachamim, that the dinim of Tisha B'Av apply on Sunday. It's Yud B'Av, it's not the ninth of Av. So what? That was the Takana. We're not Mechuyif to make up new Chumras, that there are 2 days of Tisha B'Av that year. So there are different opinions about this. There's a Nafkamina Ladina, besides the Abbas Nafkamina, whether it's Mutter or not, but there's a Nafkamina Ladina conceptually, when you have a Tisha B'Av Shechalos B'Shabbos, so do we view Shabbos as basically Tisha B'Av or not? My Nafkamina for Shavuot Shechalos Shechabal Tisha B'Av. So we said last 2 weeks ago that even though we have many minhagim that apply starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, the real Isurim, Medina de Gemar, most of them begin only in the Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. So when you have a Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos, is there a Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av? So some poskim say yes, the Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av is the whole week before, from Sunday to Tisha B'Av, because on the calendar, the ninth of Av is on Shabbos. So the whole week preceding that Shabbos is Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. And other poskim say no, that's not Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is not till Sunday. So Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av is one day. Tisha B'Av itself is the Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. That's a big nafkamina ladina. Nafkamina whether all the Isurim for that whole week are only mikach minog or mikach dina. So there are nafkaminas, things which are minog are much more kal than things which are also mikar adin. So that machlekes and the poskim, whether there's a Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, it seems to be this machlekes Rishon about whether Tash B'Shamita is mutter on Shabbos or not. So if you hold that there's an Isra of Tash B'Shamita on Friday night, which is the ninth of Av, then it turns out this is basically Tisha B'Av. It's Tisha B'Av, but it's Nebuch, we can't observe it, so we push it off for a day. But it's basically Tisha B'Av. Whatever Avelus you can salvage, whatever is Avelus Betzira, you have to observe. So that labels it as a day of Tisha B'Av. And we made it the week before Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Masha'enkin, if you hold, there's no Issa Tash B'Shamita in Friday night, so that's nothing. So then it's a regular weekday, and only on regular Shabbos. Then the next week is the Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, which is, of course, only one day. So how are we knowing on this? So the poskim right, l'chadchila, it's better to refrain from having tashbish under those circumstances, unless it's leil tevila. It's a leil tevila, it's a real mitzvah of tashbish. So then meika mikra, then we paskin that the issa doesn't really. There really is no such issa. There is a discussion that the Mishnah Berurah quotes about Shulchan Aruch already begins to quote it about other isurim between husbands and wives on the day of Tisha B'Av, on the day of Yom Kippur for that matter. Even though Medina de Gemara, the Issa only seems to be Tash B'Shamita, what about other kinds of physical contact, of Chibuk V'Nishach, things like that? So the poskim write that it's not appropriate, that a person should refrain from those kinds of things as well. Chibuk v'nishuk on both on Yom Kippur, as well as on Tisha B'Av, as well as on during Shiva. Rabbi Kiveger in Hilchos Avelos quotes a strange marmochum. He quotes a targum from Kehelas that says on the poskim Kehelas, I need a bakar for this, Eis l'chabek v'eis l'eis rachek me'har chabek, something like that. There's a time to hug and there's a time to refrain from hugging. So the Targum that Rabbi Kivega quote says, when is the ace rachek me'chabek? When are you not supposed to hug somebody? When a person's sitting shiva. So that's not a time to be hugging. So the poskim write that on Tisha B'Av also, that's not the time for chibuk and ishuk. Those kinds of things should be off limits as well. The poskim write, in addition to this, that the poskim have a whole discussion, maybe one should observe the harchakos on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av also, since there's an issa tashmish at that time, so maybe we should refrain from anything that would normally be refrained from during Nida period, so maybe that should be refrained from on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av as well. And Avelos Taka doesn't say that, doesn't say nochas Avelos at the harchakos, there it says beferish the mutar, but in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, so many poskim have that chumrah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a interesting chilik. The Mishnah Berurah says, maybe we should be more machmir in this on Yom Kippur than we are in Tisha B'Av. Not because Yom Kippur is more chomer than Tisha B'Av, but the Mishnah Berurah writes that on Yom Kippur, when the women are dressed up nicely because it's Yom Tov, so then there's more of a chashash that people will be chote. So a person goes to Kol Nidre, they're dressed in the best clothing. So the Mishnah Berurah says Yishtaka be more machmer in the harchakos in Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av, he says, everyone's walking around with sak v'efer, so there's less of a chashash. I don't know, I thought that was strange. Bizman hazeh, people don't dress sakta efron tishbav. They dress the same as they would dress any other day of the summer. So I'm not sure that we should apply that. I think that the more correct thing to do is, person should be machmer, kedayu beis elokeinu, person should be busters the can, person should try to treat Yom Kippur and tishbav. Any physical contact is off limits between husbands and wives, and even other kinds of things, the rechafes, whatever can be avoided, one should try to avoid. So I'd say it's also mikra din, the whole thing doesn't appear in the Gemara, only the Yisr Tashmish itself appears in the Gemara, but whatever one can avoid in this area is more appropriate to avoid. In addition to these Yisurim, which are Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av oriented, Yom Kippur, Beilus oriented, there's also a specific Yisur against learning on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says just as an Aval is not allowed to learn, so one on Tisha B'Av is not allowed to learn as well. But when it comes to learning on Tisha B'Av, so the Gemara gives us a kula that one is allowed to learn the Dvar Ma'aroim, the sad, depressing parts of Torah, so one is permitted to learn on Tisha B'Av. There is a machlokes in the poskim, those parts of Torah which one is permitted to learn, the Dvar Ma'aroim, is a person allowed to learn them be'ion, you're allowed to learn them mamash with lumdus, with chidushim, with tairas, etc. So the Birkei Yosef writes in the side of Yeridea, that he saw once a Gog Lechad who was sitting Shiva and he was saying over Chedisha Tayr Nochas Avelis, Mamash with Tayrus with Rambos, right? So the Birkei Yosef writes, he doesn't think that it was right. He said that the Isser of learning applies even to those Chalakim of Torah if you learn B'Iyun. The Hatter is only to learn very, very quickly and just rush your Prakim. So there are different opinions about this. The Chashulchan writes that a person should try to learn just the B'Bikiyas. He shouldn't try to be Ma'ayin too much into the learning on Tisha B'Av. If Nebuch Chedish Tayr comes his way, Chashulchan writes, honestly, upon a Patra, what do you want? Halabai, we should be zeichet to that. That when we're sitting and learning, we can't control the chedushim from flying through. We can't. We should be zeichet to that all year long. So a person should try to learn on Tisha B'Av the Rashi proper. Try to learn, fairly quickly, and try to learn not too much in depth. If every once in a while he thinks that something comes his way, so he doesn't have to clap achayd after Tisha B'Av for the terrible avera of learning on Tisha B'Av. The Shulchan Aruch writes that whatever is not really learning, whatever is just like part of davening, one is permitted to say. You're allowed to say the Pashta Tomid and Shema, all the Shishayom. And many of us would say the Shishayom by Mincha, but the basically the davening part of davening, even though it involves learning, so that was never included in the Yisr. There are some poskim will say you're allowed to be Mavasedra on Tishbav. If a person always is Mavasedra every single day, that's like his davening, that's part of his daily routine. So I think most people don't follow that kula. But whatever is mamish part of the daily routine in terms of actual davening would be permitted on Tisha B'Av. There are different opinions about saying Tehillim on Tisha B'Av. Is that appropriate? Not appropriate. Different argument about that.
Many people do the daf yomi during davening.
Yes, that's part of the davening.
No.
Some people daven up the learning, they learn up the davening. So I don't know. Whatever. Save daf yomi left Tisha B'Av. Either get the jump on it. You can learn it erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon if you want. You can learn tomorrow's daf. When we make a mishasircha, just don't ask for mishachta, but I think it's okay. When it comes to all the Yisurim of Tisha B'Av, so there really is no difference between the night and the day and the afternoon. The Achil, Shtir, Chitzat Hamot, everything is also the entire 24-hour, 25-hour period of Tisha B'Av, including Ben HaShemashos. But there are certain Minhagim that we have in Tisha B'Av, and within the Minhagim of Tisha B'Av, so we find certain distinctions between the first half of Tisha B'Av and the second half of Tisha B'Av. So let's say one of the examples is sitting on the floor. So that which we're knowing not to sit in a chair on Tisha B'Av, that's not Mikra Din. The truth is, it's probably not Mikra Din for an oval either. So there's a whole sugi in the Gemara about Kriya Samita, about an oval turning over the bed, when it applies, doesn't apply, Bizman Hazeh. But this notion that one sits on a low chair, or one sits on the floor, is not really Mikra Din, probably an Avelus, and for sure Nuchas Tisha B'Av. Therefore, we find that the Rama writes that the Minig only exists until Chatzos. Anything that's also Mikra Din is also the whole day. Anything which also only B'Torah's Minig only applies in the morning. So after Chatzos, after you finish Kinos, the Rama writes, you're supposed to say Kin is still about Chatzos. That's the davening supposed to be. A person can't. But the appropriate way to schedule the Kinos is to say it until about Chatzos. And after Chatzos, then you finish, then you can sit on a chair again. There's another minig that we have, which also only applies in the morning. That's the minig of not wearing tefillin, not wearing talis and tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Even though there was some Rishonim who said that you don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av Mikra Din, because the Gemara says that Avol Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. So a person just buried his mace, comes back from the Beis HaKvaras, so he doesn't wear tefillin. That's a real din of Avol Yom Rishon. So some Rishonim said Tisha B'Av is like Avol Yom Rishon. That it's the highest level of Avelos, and therefore there's no tefillin Mikra Din the whole day of Tisha B'Av. And other Rishonim said, no, that it's not Avol Yom Rishon. It's like Avol Yom Shlishi, Avol Yom Shlishi. Shishi. It's like regular Shiva. It's not, doesn't have that chumra of El Yom Rishon. So there's machlekes every Shana about it. The Rambam quotes a strange minute. The Rambam quotes that there were some places that used to wear tefillin shel Yad on Tisha B'Av, they wouldn't wear tefillin shel Rosh. Because tefillin shel Rosh, that's the pe'er, that's the beauty, that's the public, you know, public adornment. So they felt that was inappropriate on Tisha B'Av. Strange chilek. We don't follow that. So how do we paskin? So we paskin a little bit of a split. We paskin that me'ikra din, you're really allowed to wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Haray, we wear it in the afternoon. But in the morning, when you're saying kiddush, and it's the highest, the most intense part of Avelis, so we don't put on the tefillin then. So if we would have held that tefillin is a real isser on Tisha B'Av, we wouldn't have put it on a minchida. But since we pass in mikra, then it's mutter to wear, and mikra, then you can really wear chakras also. But in deference to those who say you shouldn't, so our minute, the minute Yisrael has become to wear tefillin dafka in the afternoon. We also draw this distinction between before chatzos and after chatzos in terms of malacha. That the Mishnah says in Maseches Psachim that there are different minhagim about doing malach on Tisha B'Av. There's no issa malacha formally on Tisha B'Av, but nevertheless, there are certain places that had a minhag not to do malacha. The Gemara says that one who does malacha on Tisha B'Av is ain't a ro simin bracha. It's not the right time if a person is able to. If a person is not able, But if a person is able to take off a day from work on Tisha B'Av, that's the more appropriate thing to do. The Mishnah says there are different days that where there's no formal issa malacha, but the more correct thing to do is to refrain from work. So it says Shulchan Aruch in Purim, if a person could refrain from working in Purim, you should try to refrain. Well, Chavtul Tisha B'Av, you should try to refrain if you're able to. You can't. But if you're able to, one should try to. There are more rights that Minig in many of our communities, at least in Europe, was that they would refrain from Malacha until Chatzos, and after Chatzos, they would permit doing Malacha. Again, the same idea, that it's not an Issa. If it would be an Issa Gomer, then it would be also after Chatzos also. Since it's not an Issa Gomer, so then one is permitted already after Chatzos to do other kinds of things. That goes without saying, even those kinds of things that we permit after Chatzos should still be some degree within the spirit of the day. One shouldn't, Erev Tisha B'Av, the afternoon does become a hefkevelt, so one should try to keep to those activities that are more appropriate, more in tune with Tisha B'Av. That's for the whole phenomenon of all the Tisha B'Av videos have come, invented into Klal Yisrael. So we say that the day where there's probably more learning than any other day in America is Tisha B'Av. So everyone, a lot of people don't go to work in all the camps, everyone's sitting and watching all the Tisha B'Av. A person should learn those parts of things which are relevant for Tisha B'Av itself. We mentioned that after Tisha B'Av is over, so then some of the minhagim continue. We spoke about this in the 9 day shiurim. So many of the minhagim continue until Chatzos. This year things are a little bit different because since Tisha B'Av is on a Thursday, so whatever is necessary for covered Shabbos, so haircuts, clothes, whatever a person has to do to get ready for Shabbos, one would be permitted to do immediately after Tisha B'Av is over. Those things which are not Shabbos oriented, you know, listen to music or bus of the eye and things like that, there's no need. So then one should wait until after Chatzos. So again, we tried this year to give a little bit of a background to some of these sugyas. Hopefully we should be zeicher. This should all be just total shmash, not be lemaisa, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be take these days of Shavuos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av and should turn them around to leave you the basis for all the sauce. Okay, wish everybody a healthy summer. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue at some point afterwards.